Hi, this is Daniel Garber the Buies for CulturalMoney.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Identical twins are formed when a single cell splits in two, resulting in two fetuses with the same genetic background. Twins are said to have a special kinship, and that they're closer even than best friends, brothers and sisters, married couples, or soulmates. Though separate individuals, they could be seen as two of a kind. Two of a Kind is also the name of a new documentary about the truth and myths surrounding identical twins. It explores their similarities and differences, their genetics, psychology, sociology, and their personalities. Directed by documentary filmmaker Leora Eisen, the film looks at a series of fascinating twins, two sisters adopted by separate families, a pair of women who have never left each other's side, even as adults, trapeze artists who perform with Cirque du Soleil, and the filmmaker herself. It screens this weekend on Documentary Channel, and I'm very pleased to have filmmaker Leora Eisen here with me in studio to tell us more about Two of a Kind. Hi, Leora.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
So, you're a twin. Did the idea for this film spring from the fact of you wanting to look at your personal circumstances, or was it more inspired by you want to see the broader picture?
A bit of both, because even though I am a twin, I stare at other twins. You can't help, you know, when you see them, you have to stare at them. It's bizarre, it's strange, it's intriguing. And I've had a wonderful relationship with my identical twin, but I don't necessarily understand it. So this became kind of my journey to learn about my own twinship by speaking to other twins and experts, some of whom are twins themselves, to figure out, you know, what can we all learn from this double identity?
So let's start by talking about the kinship. What is this kinship? They say that identical twins have a special bond that exists. It's even when the way they communicate as children. What is cryptophasia?
That is a language that you develop on your own as babies. About 40% of twins do this. You'll hear them babbling, and they understand each other.
And when you say language, what do you mean?
Goo goo gaga. I mean, it's babble, but that means something to my twin and I, because it might be, you know, pass me your spoon and I'll say goo goo gaga and she'll hand it over. My mother didn't understand it. She regrets that she never taped it, because she says you could tell we were communicating, and the experts aren't 100% sure why this happens. But, you know, perhaps it's just because you're together all the time, even from the womb.
And so what situation does it put the twins, sisters or the twins into?
Well, you know, my sister and I have felt that even as adults, we kind of had our own special language, but it was silent. And by that, I don't mean ESP, you know, or it's not like if she would cut herself, I bled. But I always knew what she was thinking, instinctively and vice versa. And often friends would tell us, you know, if you made a remark or a joke, they would roll their eyes and say, oh, Linda just said that 5 minutes ago. Your thought process is so similar in many cases, not all cases, because you've been brought up together and you share DNA. And yet you are two different people. And not everybody accepts that.
So tell me, like, if the two infants are separated at birth and end up growing up apart from each other, what are the differences and what are the similarities with twins who were raised together?
Well, you know, it was really amazing to meet Lily and Jillian, who are 14-year-old girls. One lives north of Toronto. One lives 4 hours away in Amherstburg, Ontario.
Why were they separated?
They were adopted as babies from
China.
And the orphanage would not allow double adoptions. And so two different families were told, here's your baby, saw a photo. They were part of a group of Canadians who shared photos with each other before going to China. And they said, oh my God, our kids look the same. Is it one baby? Are they twins? The orphanage said no. they're not related. The family sense that they probably knew, but because the rules said they couldn't do it, they gave them to two Canadian families. You know, one could have ended up in Australia. And so these parents vowed that they were going to tell these girls that they were twins. They were going to make sure that even though they lived so far away, they saw each other. And for the last 14 years, they've gotten together every couple of months. The girls have a sleepover, and they hang out, and they cherish their twinship. At the same time, their personalities are somewhat different. Jillian is more outgoing. Lily's a little more shy. And yet, the similarities are uncanny. They walked the same day, two different households, you know, 4-hour drive apart. They walk the same day. They like the same music. They giggle the same way when you see them. It's hard to tell them apart when you first meet them. So it's like a nature-nurture experiment in front of the parents' eyes.
So when I was a little kid and went to school, there were twins in my class, but they always separated them, one in one class, one with another teacher. Why do they do that?
I think they do that because they want to make sure that the twins have an opportunity to develop as individuals. They still do that. They did it when I was little. It goes back and forth depending on where you live. You know, we were fine in separate classrooms. Some twins I know were fine to put together. Others were screwed up no matter where they were put. So it really depends.
And speaking of screwed up, you introduce the fact there are psychologists who deal only with twins. Can you tell me about this?
Yeah, that totally shocked me because, you know, I've had such a positive twinship. It didn't really occur to me that there are identical twins who can't stand each other. I understand that somewhat with fraternal twins because they can be so different genetically. But I met an LA psychologist named Joan Friedman, who had a troubled relationship with her own twin, Jane, because they were always thought of as the twins instead of Joan and Jane. She has a practice, a busy practice, full of twins who need counseling because their relationship is damaged, whether it's, you know, jealousy, whether it's anger, whether it's feelings they can't express, whether they feel like they've been stuck with someone they didn't choose. It's fascinating.
And so the fact that there are all these scientists and psychologists and psychiatrists and geneticists who pay special attention to twins, did you ever feel like a specimen in a laboratory growing up?
You know what? I think twins, they get a lot of twin volunteers. One of the geneticists I interviewed in London has 12,000 twins in his research cohort. And I think that's because twins understand that they're unique in human nature. You know, you can breed mice to be genetic clones, but you can only do that with humans in sci-fi. And so it's a valuable treasure trove, the gold standard for scientists to be able to study twins because they are nature's clones.
You use the word clone in the documentary, but they're clones, but there's no individual who starts it. The two of them are both clones from the same cell, is that right?
It's a fertilized egg that splits into two. And some of those, my sister and I, were mirror image twins. About 25% of identical twins are mirror images. That means, you know, if my tooth fell out on one side, her first tooth fell out on the opposite side. And that's when the egg splits a little later in the process. You look like you're looking in the mirror.
Right. So tell me this. You spoke to geneticists who said things that, to me, were very surprising, that identical twins could have different DNA, different genes. How can that be?
Okay, well, your genes are the same. If you think of it as a symphony, the instruments are always the same. That's your DNA. But there's a level above your genes, your epigenes, the epigenome. Epi means Greek, means above in Greek. This is kind of a chemical reaction that acts like a switch to turn those genes on or off. And that's what can be different in twins. And so if one of you smokes and the other doesn't, your genes might behave differently. You can perhaps have a gene that protects you against cancer, but in the smoking tween, those genes are turned off.
So the genes don't change, they just express themselves differently.
Exactly. It's how they behave that counts.
Okay, very interesting. You also have a fascinating pair of brothers who work for Cirque du Soleil. They're English brothers. Could you tell me about them?
Kevin and Andrew Atherton are these lovely, incredible guys, gorgeous to watch. They have an aerial act in one of the Cirque shows in Las Vegas where they aren't attached by wires. It's just leather straps. And they hang on to each other and literally for dear life. If you don't trust your twin, you'll fall. They're incredible, and yet they have an intriguing difference. You look at them, and they look exactly the same, but there's a very crucial difference between them.
I saw the film, so I know what you're talking about, but I'll leave it to people to watch it themselves to find out what that one is. Very surprising. So in your documentary, you show parades, conventions, lots of things devoted entirely to twins. So when you go to those things, do you feel warmth and empathy, or do you think, okay, this is weird?
Okay, I have to admit it's a bit of both. My sister and I filmed at a Just for Laughs twins parade in Montreal. And everybody that year, every year they pick a theme, everybody was dressed as clowns. And it was like, oh, I don't know. We didn't dress as clowns because it was kind of a metaphor for the freak show that twins can be. On the other hand, I've met twins who love going to these things because it's really the only place where people get them. There's a pair of twins, Allison and Lauren, lovely young women.
Who, amazing.
Yet they cannot separate. It's a compulsion with them. They have to be together. They only feel whole as a twosome.
They seem almost conjoined but cut apart.
Exactly. And so when they go to these twins festivals, it's the one place where people aren't kind of doing a double take and saying, oh, you look weird.
Interesting. Finally, if you had to give you were knowledgeable and you've been through a lot and you made the film, what advice would you give to twins? If you have any words of advice to give.
My advice would be, cherish it, because you are an individual, but you are luckier than everybody else in the world, because who doesn't want a soulmate, and you're born with one.
And conversely, what advice would you give the rest of us when meeting or dealing with people who are identical twins?
Treat them like two separate people, even if you can't help staring, but usually they don't mind.
Thanks a lot, Leora.
Thank you.
Leora Eisen's fascinating new documentary, Two of a Kind, is playing two versions, one on CBC's The Nature of Things on Thursday, November 27th at 8 p.m., and on the Documentary Channel, Sunday, November 30th at 9 p.m. Look out for this one. It's really good. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.